The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "Then the dominion of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with the lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Sir, sir, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, if any of you have been to an Our Savior's event where there is any kind of coffee that is served, I'm sure you are well aware and have been witness to the crazy amount of random mugs that this church has in the kitchen cabinets, in the kitchen. And I like to view this collection of mugs and try to pick a different one every single week, usually for men's breakfast that happens every Wednesday. There's the Alaska mug, which has this big eagle spread over this mountain, which is pretty cool. There's the Celebration of Women's Ordination in the ELCA event, August 14th to the 16th, 1995, a mug. There's one of my favorites, God Made Grandmas Because God Likes Love mug. Like that one. Well, it just so happens that when I was writing this sermon this last week, I got to the church office pretty early, and so I made myself a cup of coffee, and I opened the kitchen cabinet, and I found a mug that I never had tried before. So it was this red mug that was kind of in the back of the cabinet. And I read, there's a poem that's on the front of this mug. And after I grabbed it and read this poem, I chuckled to myself because it was fitting that it was in the back of the cabinet. The mug, the poem that it has written on it is by Garrison Keillor, a famous Lutheran radio announcer. And it goes like this. "I'm a Lutheran" is what it's titled. "I am a Lutheran. We are a modest people, and we never make a fuss. And it sure would be a better world if they were all as modest as us. We do not go for whooping it up or a lot of yickety-yak. When we say hello, we avert our eyes, and we always sit in the back. We sit in the pew where we always sit, and we do not shout amen. And if anyone yells or waves their hands, they're not invited back again." Now, I find this poem very interesting because obviously it is meant to poke fun at the Scandinavian Lutherans who settled primarily in the northern part of this country. And I certainly, in my own personal family heritage, can relate to this sarcastic description of Lutherans and appreciate the continual material that Garrison Keillor puts out in relation especially to Minnesota and to Lutherans. Certainly Lutheranism within the United States in the past 150 years has come out with a very salt of the earth and model and modest roots. And that's, I think, what makes this poem especially funny. But I wonder, in the next 150 years, what the Garrison Keillor of the future would say about Lutherans. How will this joke of a poem change for the next few chapters of our church? Well, in the prophet Amos's time, the prophet who wrote the section that we have in the Old Testament today, the actions of Judaism and the rulers of the kingdom of Israel at the time were not quite as funny. Amos lived at a time of relative peace and prosperity, of course, for the tiny little nation of Israel. Enemies were at bay, crops were good, life was reasonable. However, Amos was continually disturbed by the actions of the king at the time. King Jeroboam II was his name, and the temple priests, who took not to look after God's people, but instead did everything that they could to enrich and benefit themselves. Amos was horrified by the fact that the king and the temple elites would go to the temple, would hear the words of the Torah, would participate in ritual cleansings and worship, and yet conspire with one another to wrench resources away from those in need. This is the context of our Old Testament reading today, and the context that Amos comes from and is addressing. Just last week, our adult education class, who just finished up a wonderful 6-part series on the Old Testament prophets with world-renowned Old Testament scholar Dr. Walter Brueggemann, we witnessed a lecture of his last week that really highlighted this Hebrew term called hohi. And this Hebrew term is most probably common, or is commonly translated in the English as woe. This word is used, actually, in our Old Testament passage today. So, adult education folks, this is an example of Dr. Brueggemann's point. However, you'll see not the word woe. You'll see at the beginning of verse 18, it's weirdly translated in our NRSV modern version as beginning with alas, whatever alas means. Not understand why they did that. But interestingly, hohi or woe is a term of mourning and is commonly used by the prophets when they were in great despair. Woe for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? You can hear, you can sense this utter grief in Amos. Here you are, he's saying, putting on a great show, talking the talk of when the Messiah is going to come and how awesome that's going to be. And yet, when you leave the temple, all that worship stuff seems to go out the window. Amos, like many prophets, is calling out great hypocrisy, and I believe brings out in his writing a very important question for us. What does it mean to be authentic in life and in faith? What does it mean to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk? For Amos, following God was not just showing up to worship and going through the motions, but living out the teachings that God has given us through the Word. And for Amos, as we learn a couple chapters later as he spells it out, this teaching was simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says those words too, by the way, interestingly enough. If you're not authentic in living this out, then what good are your festivals? What good are your solemn assemblies and offerings? For Amos, if your life doesn't reflect your worship, then it's all meaningless. Last Sunday, while we were gathered here for All Saints Sunday, honoring the dead, a madman shooter entered First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, during worship. with an automatic weapon and mowed down the congregation, killing 26 individuals, including a 1.5-year-old child and a pregnant mother. This attack, of course, happens just a few weeks after another madman, gunman, mowed down a crowd at a country music festival in Las Vegas, killing 58. 2017 already to date will go down as the worst year for mass shooting deaths in American history. And of course, politicians and leaders across our country condemned the violence, all saying something generally like, well, reports of Texas are devastating. The people of Sutherland Spring needs our thoughts and prayers right now. Yet, I'm sure you are well aware, even with the mass shootings becoming more and more and more common action to address the issue really in any form, from enacting basic safeguard laws for purchasing guns to increasing funding for mental health care programs, is not happening. Sending of thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers is happening. Whatever that is. Take away from me the noise of your gongs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. What does Amos's call of an authentic life mean for us in our time and place? I want to briefly turn to our gospel reading from the book of Matthew to help us maybe parse this out a little bit. I think we get so stuck on our usual interpretation of this parable of the bridesmaids is what it's usually called, that I think we can miss other readings of this story that might actually be a little bit more relevant to us. And the usual interpretation, of course, kind of goes like this. I'm sure you're all very familiar. Jesus is the bridegroom. The bridesmaids are us. We need to be ready for the physical Jesus to come back and pluck us up like the Left Behind series. Open the door to heaven and walk through. Now, this is an interpretation, and in some ways it is valid, but I think it brings up some major issues for me personally. Firstly, it makes the focus of our lives kind of like that ticket to heaven. You know what I mean? As long as we're ready to go up the escalator to meet St. Peter, everything else can be secondary. And secondly, it puts this emphasis on, you know, unless God sends a specific way of Jesus coming to us in flesh and bone, we don't really have to pay much attention to other actions of God, which might be just as powerful. So what if, instead of seeing this text describing Jesus's blockbuster one-time coming back to earth moment, we instead see this parable as our continual meeting of Christ? What if instead of us having to wait for the heaven escalator to turn on, which is exhausting, by the way, this text is instead calling us to be ready for opportunities to, as Amos says, love God and love neighbor. Maybe it was Christ the bridegroom who came in Missoula Aging Services wanting to partner with our church to do a senior lunch. Maybe it was Christ the bridegroom who comes every year and the teachers and staff, Bonner School, who say, you know, actually we really need blank to help our kids right now. Or maybe it's Christ the bridegroom who was working in and how Diane Tamke, through Family Promise, would nudge us to get and volunteer for Family Promise to help families in need. Being authentic for Amos is less about simply just being active to be active, but about being grounded and ready for faithful opportunities that you don't know when are going to come. Being grounded in faithful opportunities doesn't just mean a passive, you know, waiting for Christ to come along, but instead calls us to live a life that is always seeking and always trying to go deeper. What if Christ, the bridegroom, was now here opening the door to greater collaboration and advocacy among churches in relation to senseless gun violence? Turns out our former and beloved Pastor Gene is very involved with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, a group that is doing vital work. Maybe Christ is opening the door for us to partner in some way. I don't know. Maybe most of us don't yet. But what I do know is this. Don't just come to church. Come authentically and ready for opportunities to church. Live out your passions in connection with faith. Maybe in the next 150 years, I'm a Lutheran, can go more like this. We are Lutherans. We are an authentic people. And we make a fuss sometimes. Because it sure would be better if the world was not all like us. We stand for loving the neighbor as ourselves, and when we say hello, we look them in the eye and say, "You are loved here." And maybe we sit in the back sometimes, but we know that being church is not just sitting in the pew. And shouting amen is sometimes what we have to do in order to bring God's kingdom of justice and peace right here, right now. And if anyone yells or waves their hand, we embrace them and say, "May God bless you." Because as Martin Luther says, "I can do no other, for here I stand." Amen.